This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.
Hi, I'm Tina Craig, founder of You Beauty. And what I love about beauty is it's the ultimate expression of self-love and self-confidence.
This is not your average skincare entrepreneur or origin story. Coming up, you'll hear the journey of creating You Beauty. We'll take you behind the scenes on the scientific innovation, the organic marketing pro tips from a top influencer, and its successful launch. You'll hear about the patent-pending technology that's based on 8 years of medical-grade R&D and 2 years of testing. But don't worry, they don't test on animals. They only test on supermodels and celebrities. Hear how this entrepreneur convinced a skeptical beauty buyer at Net-a-Porter to change her skincare routine for a week, and how that led to a launch that sold out of inventory globally within 21 days.
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
Welcome to another episode of Beauty is Your Business. We're so excited to be here with Tina Craig. And I also have my amazing co-host, Abby Wallach.
Great to be here.
And April Franzino.
Hi.
So, Tina, thank you so much for joining us today. First of all, congrats on your successful launch and success to date with You Beauty. We're so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's really exciting to be here.
So I think one thing that's really interesting about your story is, you know, you are really one of the OGs in the creator space. When I think about your illustrious blog, Bag Snob, it went from blog and all across social media, from Facebook, Twitter, Snap, now nearly 500,000 followers on Instagram and a growing audience on TikTok.
Yes, don't forget my TikTok. I am a budding TikTok star. I keep telling my teenager that and he cringes every time.
It's amazing. So would love to hear the origin story behind You Beauty and also how your experience as a creator influenced how you thought about launching a skincare line and growing your business.
That's one of the questions I get asked the most. And I always say, in many ways, I think being an influencer founder is not all that different from being a non-creator, non-influencer founder. I was motivated to solve a specific problem. I found partners who had the resources to do that. And then I rolled up my sleeves. We started building a brand and a team. What is different, however, about my access as an influencer is the way that it magnified and accelerated my ability to make observations about the industry. For example, You Beauty is about streamlining your routine. From 13 plus products that I was using, it was insane. Twice a day, I had 13 steps and it was multiple products per step. So it could have been like 20 products on some days to just 3 to 4 products. And I think the number of products I received as an influencer helped me identify that, hey, cosmetic confusion is a real issue for everyone sooner than I might have otherwise. But the central problem is one that everyone can relate to. And so that was how it evolved into me becoming a founder of You Beauty.
Amazing. So how did you make that transition from having the idea to bringing it to life? Walk us through a little bit of that story.
When I identified the problem, it really was because I had been in the industry for so long. First, they called me a blogger. Then they called us 4-letter words. And then they called us tweeters. And then it was snappers and viners. And when Instagram happened, we became influencers. And whatever they call me at the bottom, like, of it all, what I was always doing and loving to do was just sharing my discoveries. And through my sharing of the discoveries of beauty, especially, that was my biggest passion since, like, I was 5 years old. My grandmother, my mother, all the women in my family, I think beauty was something that Asian women really take ownership of. I don't know if it stems from being married off and boys and sons being valued more than girls, but skincare and beauty, it was really something they took very seriously. And I was always taught. So of course, that healthy obsession led to this 13-step routine I had back in 2007, I believe. I wrote this blog about my 13-step routine with multiple, you know, products per step. This is before K-beauty, before all the trend before social media became a thing. And I started feeling probably about 5 years ago, just it was exhausting. It was exhausting to not only share new discoveries every week, and it was expensive, and buying them and then being gifted, and this massive amount of waste I started seeing. So that cosmetic confusion was something I was really motivated to resolve, but I couldn't seem to find the answer. And anytime I worked with the top brands, I worked with everybody from the largest, you know, Estee Lauder. I was Estee Lauder ambassador for the Southwest of the US. I launched Augustina's Botter in person at Neiman's, at Cosmart, on Instagram, Clé de Peau. I've been a Clé de Peau ambassador for a long time. So, and then SkinCeuticals. It was all different price ranges. It wasn't just luxury brands. But every time I worked with these brands, I noticed one occurring theme in all of my projects. It was the continuation of cosmetic confusion, constantly telling people you have to buy this, and telling myself I have to do this, I have to do that, and getting FOMO if I missed out on that product. But at the end of the day, not really seeing the results I actually wanted to see. And so I would just ask people, any brand I worked with. I was working with La Prairie. I've loved La Prairie my whole life. I was that college girl who, instead of buying contouring sticks, I was saving money for La Prairie eye serum. And back then in the 90s, it was $86. And when I became their ambassador and did a nationwide tour with them. And I just remember thinking, well, this is still something I love. This is a product I use forever. So I like that story. I like the story of having a product that really worked and sticking with it, not constantly having to do newness. But at the same time, there was still so much confusion between the step of after cleansing and then you getting to your cream and your eye serums, the actives, the retinols, the acids. And I have, you know, multiple facialists giving me different routines depending on what they sold, multiple dermatologists, same thing, giving me routines depending on what they sold. And no one could give me a straight answer. How can I simplify I understood cleansing, I understood cream, and I understand what retinol does and what lactic acid does and vitamin C and antioxidants, but I didn't understand why they didn't play well together. I said, why can't you just put retinols where my skin needs it? I don't understand, why isn't there one product that can just treat different areas of my skin differently? You're able to put, you know, Siri, the technology right now in the world is so advanced. By the time I get off this podcast, if I talk about coconut oil, Siri's going to show me all these coconut oil ads. But yet the skincare industry had been stagnated since the 50s, which was insane to me. And no one could give me the answer. I just want one product. And they'd say, you're so naive. Vitamin C doesn't play well with retinols. And, you know, you can't have this with that. And I said, well, I know that because I started having rosacea. If I would put on retinol at night, didn't rinse it off well in the morning, and put on vitamin C in the morning, it was like two worlds colliding. It was like George Costanza. My face would blow up in a rosacea-induced flare-up. And it wasn't that, but I just kept asking. I'm a person, I'm very curious by nature. So I would ask people, I said, why? So it wasn't until I had dinner with now my business partner and her husband. They've been longtime friends. I knew they were in the skincare industry. I've never worked with them. I knew that her husband's family had been in the industry for generations, and she herself for almost 20 years developing products, private label for other brands. And I said to her, you know, I'm so sick of this cosmetic confusion and this waste. I just felt like it's such an archaic beauty industry. It was so archaic to me. It wasn't modern. Everything else was moving forward, and they've just stayed in one place. And she felt the same way. And it was for the first time, it was like that aha moment where we just spent the entire time just talking about this. And I said, I'm really looking for a product that could give me laser resurfacing results, because I've never done laser resurfacing. Being Asian, it's very precarious for, I think, most skins. It's just, you could end up with really thin skin, more spots than before. And she told me about the medical grade clinic that they were working with. Yes, be very careful. I watched my aunts do it, and I'm like, okay, I'm not doing that. And
what? No, I tried it before, and I couldn't get through it. The pain, it was just too hard.
The pain. There's so many different solutions now than laser resurfacing. There's like the yellow light. So there's LED light treatment that actually addresses the issues that we're worried about, instead of going to laser resurfacing, because every time you're blasting off those layers of the skin, it becomes more thin, until your skin becomes translucent. How do we, and everybody was over exfoliated. That was another thing I saw. From our cleansers to our treatments to our creams, everything had hidden actives in there. I didn't even know that my cream had retinol because, again, lack of transparency in the beauty industry, because it was supposed to be a soothing cream. I'm like, how is it soothing if there's retinol in here? Retinol's an active. And she told me about the medical grade clinic that she was working with, she had been working with for 15, 20 years, and they had been developing this technology for almost a decade. And they weren't really sure what to do with it yet, because they're a medical grade lab. They create the raw materials and they sell off the technology. And so I was really interested in the idea of maybe making some sort of compound just for my skin. I felt like, oh, bespoke just for me. And that's where it started. And she said, well, the lab is in Northern Italy. And I was in the middle of New York Fashion Week, and I'm a fashion girl. So I was like, oh, I can't do that. I was traveling with a brand and I was going to Paris, but I was going to be in LA for 24 hours. And she said to me, well, let me check the schedule. And then she said, oh my God, the next day they texted me and said, the team from Italy is going to be in LA on that exact day. Where are you staying? And I said, Beverly Hills Hotel. And it was another, oh my God, they're staying. And I said, no, this can't be. I said, no, this is crazy. So it turned out they were at my hotel same day. I really believe that everything happens for a reason. And you know, I always said entrepreneurs see opportunity everywhere. Some people might just have been like, oh, well, that's a coincidence. That's funny. But instead I'm like, let me talk to them. I want this. I'll make it work. I'll fly in. I won't even get ready for my event. I'll come straight to my hotel. I'll talk to them. And then I'll do my makeup in the car on the way to the event later on that afternoon. And so I was able to meet with the medical grade lab owners and product developers. And just that afternoon sitting there, it just, everything made sense to me. Everything I said to them, instead of telling me I was, you know, naive or crazy, because these people aren't skincare industry veterans trying to sell me something. They're scientists. They're problem solvers. And they said, yes, Tina, we agree. Yes, this problem is actually happening everywhere. People with, you know, sensitive skin and rosacea flare-ups from all over exfoliation and not really seeing the results, because our face is not the same everywhere, but it was being treated the same. So we're putting on active ingredients, we're flooding harsh actives all over our face. And to me, that was like taking antibiotics and you're killing the good bacteria with the bad. And when you're putting on the actives, retinol is only needed to neutralize free radicals, but it's also killing off and possibly damaging our healthy skin cells. And so with that, we said, okay, I want to try this. You know, I love the idea. So the technology they had invented that we took the proprietary ownership of and now have the patent pending for, and we called it a siren. It's a siren. It's an encapsulation technology. And basically the capsules mimic a healthy skin cell. So we've heard of encapsulation and drone technology. And there's so many different kinds of technology. This one is so different, is because rather than time release or any kind of other sort of encapsulation, it only treats the damage, because it draws the damage causing free radicals to it, like a magnet, for lack of a better word. How? Because they mimic a healthy skin cell. As we know, free radicals are constantly attacking healthy skin cells, hoping to steal a healthy molecule. That's just the basic nature of the yin and yang of skin. And as we age and as we stay up all night drinking, dancing, you know, sun, sugary foods, more and more free radicals develop than we age. And at one point, the tipping point is when the free radicals become, they overcome the healthy skin cells. And that's when real damage happens. So how do we neutralize the free radicals? How do we isolate them? Well, we make the capsules mimic a healthy skin cell. So the membrane itself is very fragile and collapsed. So when they come in contact with U-Beauty and the siren capsules, they're more attracted to it than our own healthy skin cells, because they realize, wait, this is easier to collapse. They think it's a weak, healthy skin cell. So when they penetrate through it, rather than, you know, damaging our healthy skin cells like a Trojan horse, they release the active ingredients, thereby neutralizing them, reversing the damage they've done, and essentially protecting your skin for tomorrow. Because the siren capsules are so microscopic and small, it's able to travel deeper into the skin layers than any other sort of products. And that's where the frenetic damage is happening. As you know, before that wrinkle, before that blemish, before the pigmentation, all of that damage is happening beneath the skin's top layer. All of that inflammation is down there and all of that free radical activity. And so that was really interesting to me. And trust me, it took me weeks to understand what they were saying. This past 2.5 years has been like a crash course in cosmetic science. But I was fascinated with the idea that finally someone could only treat my damage and not treat my entire face the same. I would not get, they said there's no risk of irritation. And that really was exciting to me. So they got a sample to me and I went to Paris Fashion Week after LA. When I got to Paris Fashion Week, was a Tuesday, started with the Dior show and ended at the Chanel show. And by even before the Chanel show, I believe it was like either the Balmain show or the Hermes show, the front row girls, I call them my girl, they all call me Mama. And they said, Mama, your skin's always been so great, but this is the end of fashion month. Everyone's been traveling for, 45 days, but you look so fresh and your skin's next level. What are you using? And I thought, I'm not using anything different. I was up all night drinking champagne with my friends, so I don't know. Then I thought about it, I'm like, wait, it can't be the compound. It's only been 5 days. And so I went back to my hotel and I texted my friend, now business partner. And I said, this is crazy. Everyone's commenting on my skin. Can it work that fast in just 5 days? And she said, yes, that's exactly the technology that you will see visible results in 3 to 6 days. I freaked out. That's when I said, oh my God, all my friends want to try it. So we've got to please make more samples. And at that point, we both thought, maybe this is a product that we can just make and sell to my friends and sell it through Instagram. And there still wasn't a huge retail plan or aha moment yet because I was so busy. I had so many jobs. I had started an influencer agency the year before. And I was like up to here. There was no way I was going to start my own skincare brand. I knew I've always said it's just too difficult. I can't compete with these big brands. And really, I didn't think the world needed any more noise. I didn't think the world needed another brand. So at that point, I just thought, let's make the best product that I couldn't find. Let my friends use it. I want to use it and let's see what happens. So we started giving out samples. I went to Tokyo with Valentino a couple months later. And that's when really things started moving because people were, people started talking about Tina Craig's skin in a bottle. And editors were at my hotel door at midnight, after their wine. And they're like, can I have, and they would have like little Ziploc bags. Can I just have a couple of drops? So-and-so said you gave it to her and her blemish is gone. So-and-so said, in 3 days, her sunspot was gone. I just want to try a little bit. So I started, and I started passing out samples. And towards the end of it, we had 100 testers. They were all industry insiders, whether they were beauty influencers, beauty editors, fashion influencers and directors and designers. And what was really interesting was that out of these 100 people, we had ages 20 to 73. We had Asian skin, African skin, Indian skin, Middle Eastern skin, any skin, all different skin types you could think of. And what was really interesting to me was that every single person had different results. And so we just thought, okay, you can't get more diverse than this. And we did do all of our clinicals, but during your clinicals, you have test models that come in and we test their skin and then we write down the results and that was it. But from these 100 very opinionated insiders who all thought they were experts because they've been in the industry for so long, they were giving us invaluable feedback. Imagine a beauty editor telling you, oh, this is what I didn't like, beyond just efficacy, the feel. And then the people who had reactions and people who didn't, and the ones who were really sensitive, the ones who weren't, and some coming back to me and saying, wait a minute, this is really crazy, but my acne scar is visibly faded, or my I went to St. Bart's over the holidays, and then I came back and all the sunspots on my forehead were gone in like 6 days. Is that normal? Because they were scared. Some of them they were like, what did you put in here, Mama? They were like, because at one point they thought, how can it work this fast? And once we started testing, so it was like 9 formulations when nobody had a reaction, because we did have some people that were super sensitive to even natural fragrances. So we became fragrance free and I really took it far. I really pushed my scientists far where they really thought I was insane because they said, at one point they just said, you don't understand science. And I said, I don't care. I understand skin. I understand people. And I know everybody just wants good skin. Make it work. And it needs to do this, it needs to do that. And so I really pushed them. And when they would say impossible, I would say, why? Why is it impossible? And then a few weeks later, or even a few days later, they'd say, okay, Tina, we figured it out. So working with them was such a pleasure because they really allowed me they indulged all of my fantasies of good skincare. And so during the test phase, I remember the point when I thought we could really take this and make this into a brand. At that point, there was no name. Everyone just called it Tina Craig Skin in a Bottle. There was a white lab bottle. My business partner sister was our VP of product development. It was three women. It was myself, Katie, Caroline, we called her our vice president of product development. And it was all hands on deck. The three of us did everything, including making our own letterhead. And, you know, like, what are we going to do? And so I said to her, one of the testers is Billy from Net-a-Porter. And she saw me at another event. She was like, I've always thought you should go into skincare. Everyone always talks about your skin. You know, show me what you're using. So I gave it to her. And she called me from London and said, didn't work for me. And I said, okay, hang on. What else are you using? She said, well, I've got my cleanser, my toner, my serum, my da-da-da-da-da. And then I use your compound. I said, well, that's against my ethos. It's supposed to replace six other products. It's, you know, treat your skin like a diamond. It's cleanse, compound, your cream, and then your cover during the day. And that's it. So she's like, you know, I'm a beauty buyer. I don't know if I can quit everything. And I said, please trust me. Just give me a week. And that's all I need. She's like, all right, I could give you a week. So she cleansed her face in the mornings, did my compound, did her favorite creams, and went to bed. Within a week, she WhatsApped me from the Net-a-Porter offices. And she said, everyone at the office is going crazy. They're saying, what did you do to your skin? She goes, we want to sell it. And I said, you want to sell it? And she said, yes, Net-a-Porter wants to sell this. And she's like, I want to get to you before anyone else. And she's like, what's it called? And I said, let me get back to you on that. I called Katie. I said, Net-a-Porter wants to sell it. What's it called? We don't even have a name. Because at that point, it was still, and I said, I'm not ready to sell. And she said, no, I need to sell it like next month. And I said, no, because I'm not ready. It's still in test phasing. It's not perfect. And so she really pushed me. And I said, no. And I just said, we have to keep going. And so we kept going until the ninth formulation, when not a single person had any kind of reaction. I'm talking the most, like diet Prada. She was my problem child. She was reactive to everything. I felt like if I breathed on her, she would get a rash. But when she texted and said, no reaction, I love it. I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to get called out by diet Prada. And so we really thought about it. And we thought this product was made for us, for you, for the user. So You Beauty, just that the name just kept coming back to us. And I know it's not exciting. It's not, but it just made so much sense. The minute you read it, it's about you. It's about the consumer. And
every business has at least one big pivotal moment. The moment when you say, okay, we're at this turning point, so then what? I'm Lahari Neal Peretti, founder of LN Accounting Advisor. I hope you'll join me each week on my podcast, Then What, as we talk with successful business leaders who push past their business's biggest then what moments and succeed in an even bigger way because of effective leadership and solid business practices. It's inspiring and deeply useful information for any entrepreneur. Subscribe to Then What on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you find the best podcasts.
And then we got into packaging. And Miss Tina here, I think I know everything about sustainability because I have a teenager who calls me boomer. I'm like, I'm a Gen X, I'm not a boomer. But so I thought, we need glass bottles. And so I really fought them on the glass bottles. And the lab and my partner finally sat me down, explained to me, and said, because of the proprietary blend of active ingredients in here in the Cyrene encapsulation, it needs to be in an airless pump. If you want glass, we can do a glass bottle, but the lining has to be plastic because it can't have any light. And then what about your pump? You want a metal pump, or you can't have a glass pump. So it's still, you'll have plastic components, which will then render this packaging not recyclable. And so we thought, okay, what's really modern? What's modern is being very thoughtful and not wasteful. And so, and then I said, oh, we need this packaging. We need that, you know, and then it's got to have this. And it's not that I wanted fancy things, but I just, in my head, what I was taught was that glass is better. And then I had to unlearn everything I had learned about packaging as well. And it was heavier. You leave a much larger carbon footprint when you ship. And it really just wasn't practical for something that needs to be in an airless pump. So we chose recycled plastic materials, recycled paper. We just got the Leaping Bunny within a couple months of launch. And most importantly, the entire thing is 100% recyclable. The only thing I've yet to figure out is the wrapping, the cellophane. I'm like, oh, can we not have that? So I looked at plant plastic, but you know, with cosmetics, and then if it's hot and it melts. So we're constantly evolving, but this is the best, it was the best solution for us. And then once that was down, we had the packaging, we had the name, we wanted to keep it really simple, that so that it is thoughtful and sustainable, not wasteful. And then our lab is kept on with green energy. All the lights are kept on with green energy. It's 100% CO2 free. And then we thought, how can we continue to give back as mothers? And I like to feed people. So I wanted to, and I'm like, let's get with a food bank. Let's do this. But then after much discussion and thought, a friend of mine, she had a clothing brand. And when you checked out of her clothing brand, it's called, I think she introduced us. I think she brought us to you, Veronica Tao. It's everything for everyone. Yeah. So she had, when you checked out of her site and bought something, you could donate to plant a tree. And we thought, why not donate for the people? So when we launched, I copied you, Veronica, I already told her. And so for every order on You Beauty, we donate for you to plant a tree. And so that was another way. So we thought this is such a great impact that we will make. And then we went to market. I had no marketing plan. I had no PR. I had no Arissa to help me with all this. I had no global head of sales. It was me, Katie doing all the business end, Caroline doing all the product development. And at that time, by the time we finished testing and it was ready to go to market, the lab had been testing the Siren capsule technology for over 8 years. And the U Beauty compound was over a year itself and 9 formulations. So you're looking at almost a decade of testing. And so I knew it was a great product, and I knew what was inside the bottle is so much more important than what was on the outside. And I remember when we first launched, and a follower said, I expected so much more from Bag Snob. You know, I'm like, okay, what did you expect? Layers of wasteful packaging. I could have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on an expensive mold and give you a beautifully packaged thing, and then I would have not had money for what was on the inside. And then it wouldn't have worked. And because you're paying for packaging, let's be honest here. Everyone knows. And so what we spent our money on was the formulation, the clinicals. We did endless clinicals to the point where I think everyone was so sick of me. And I just said, we have to keep testing. And I said, can we test beneath the skin? They're like, what? I said, can we test what's happening underneath the skin? So our lab had to go find a test that, and then they did. So not only do we test what happens on the surface of the skin, but also what's happening right beneath the surface of the skin. And so Net-a-Porter at the time, because I had no retail plan, Net-a-Porter won a 6-month exclusive. And I said, sure. Well, obviously now my global head of sales would never allow that to happen. Sorry, Net-a-Porter, but I had no idea. I just thought, wow, so flattering. And then so I'll sell it through my little site. I'll sell it through Instagram. I'll sell it at Net-a-Porter, one product. And of course, at that time, I was already thinking about my 4 C's, cleanse, compound, cream. So we were testing a cream, but we didn't think it was ready. So we just came out with one product. We really just thought people will love it if they just tested it. And because everybody that was testing it was posting on Instagram, my followers were kind of upset saying, well, how come I don't get it tested? Why don't I get it? You know, and I thought, you know, I really believe the future of influence, consumers are the new influencers. For someone to actually spend that money to buy your product, they're going to influence so much more than someone who got it for free. And so instead of an expensive marketing campaign, we doubled down and put our money in 50,000 sample packets that we would ship out for free. We wanted to pay for shipping. We wanted to treat everyone like an influencer. I wanted them to see what it felt like to get a note from me, you know, not wasteful, you know, recycled paper note, and the packaging, it was sample packets, and it would be flat and we could just mail it. And it was 3 to 6 day dosage. And we would pay for the shipping. Because I know a lot of companies would say, well, you pay for shipping and handling. That's how they make money. And I really just wanted people to try it. It wasn't about making money off of them at that moment. It was just, let's get it out there and let them see it. Because this, how do you launch a brand? I had watched so many brands hire people like myself, KOLs, key opinion leaders, influencers, creators, editors, models. And I felt, again, that just added to more noise. There was more confusion. Let the consumer try it and let her or he, because 40% of our testers were men, by the way, let them decide whether this is right for them. So the 50,000 packets, when we announced it, 20,000, I mean, people signed up, 20,000 went out the door. And the caveat was you have to sign up for our email list and give me your phone number. So that was another way of amassing, building really our community. And within a week that 50,000 was gone. But this was all right that week of launch. When we launched at Net-a-Porter, they decided to do a pre-launch VIP event, a dinner with me. And, you know, meanwhile, there was so much stuff happening to myself personally that I couldn't talk about because I was so scared, because now I've committed to Net-a-Porter. I have a business partner. It was a huge investment to develop a skincare line. We owe the lab money, but they believed in us so much that they said, we'll just help you. And then you pay us when you can. And our launch was November 1st, official launch. Our New York big party hosted by Candace Swanepoel, who was my test human, my supermodel, Nikki Hilton, my best friend, another test human. I used to always say, I only test on supermodels and celebrities. I do not test on animals. You know, puppies and animals are spared. And then I was diagnosed with cancer, and it was right before all of that. And I just thought, okay, everything's planned. I've got to go to New York. I've got to put on a brave face. I can't tell anybody. I'll figure it out. My doctor said it was type 1, the slowest moving kind, and it was in my uterus. So she's like, you're okay to go to New York. You're even okay to go to Paris, but we've got to deal with this. And so that was on my head the whole time. And oh my God, I've got to launch this brand. I've made a commitment because that's just how my brain works. I don't know how to stop. And I went to New York and then came home, then I went to a second opinion. It was definitely cancer. And the only treatment at that point was a total hysterectomy. Not going to have any kids anymore. I have a teenager. So I thought, okay, let's just do it. So I planned my hysterectomy for October 1st. And the launch was November 1st, and I had commitments. I was supposed to be in London. I was supposed to be in LA. I was supposed to go back to New York. And I said, okay, the only things I can't do, let's push all that back. My business partners knew, of course. They were the only people who knew other than my family. I didn't even tell my friends at that point. I was just so focused on getting well, getting the products out, fulfilling my commitments, I should say. And it wasn't, you know, like stage 4, anything death, life, but they didn't know what stage. They just knew it was slow moving. And in the biopsy, it was in my uterus during just a regular pap smear. Thank God my doctor is the best. She discovered it. And so I scheduled my hysterectomy on October 1st. I had a dinner in LA October 27th. So I said, can we move that dinner to November? Because I couldn't travel for 6 to 8 weeks of recovery. And I'll do my Dallas dinner because I knew by the 27th, 27 days in bed, I should be okay just by talking to different doctors and other women who've had the laparoscopic hysterectomy, which is way less invasive on your body, but it's still a huge surgery. You're removing an organ, a very large organ out of your body. So they agreed to do that. Net-a-Porter, the best partner to launch with, they shifted everything for me. And we ended up having our dinner October 27th. So they decided to go online right around that time to their VIPs. And I remember going to bed after that dinner going, wouldn't it be funny if I woke up on Monday morning and everything sold out? It will have been so worth like really working, because I was working from bed, like in a half day state, you know, on my social media. Thank God the products were done already, and it was just the marketing part of it. So if there was any weird market, I was like, okay, just do this, do that. I had one intern working for us. It was us three women. We didn't have any help. We had hired a PR agency just for the event, the launch event. We didn't really have an in-house PR. And by Monday morning, I woke up, it was sold out. And I literally was like, this is such a moment. This is so meant to be. It was really like, it was worth it to really push for it. And then the US sold out by Monday, UK, Asia sold out right after that. And then UK and Europe sold out within a week. And that's when I knew, that was like that aha moment. Like, this is really a brand. This is going to happen. This isn't just another one of my pipe dreams. And I'm just going to go for it because I'm the type of person that I dive in first. I see opportunities everywhere. Thankfully, my partner, Katie, is very thoughtful. She always says, okay, let's think about this. And she'll walk. And then Katie has a Google Doc for everything. I don't even know where my Google Doc is on my phone. She'll say, what's in the Google Doc? I'll go, where is it again? Everyone, my entire team now knows, just send it to her. Because my brain is always on. Once I'm done with this, I'm already on to something else. My brain is on tomorrow. What am I doing tomorrow? Next, next, next. And so thankfully, she's behind me, holding me up so that I can do that. And then we just kept selling out on Net-a-Porter because of word of mouth. The 50,000 paquettes really helped it. And we made another 50,000 paquettes. And Net-a-Porter kept calling us. We need another order. We have a wait list. We need another order. And then on November 21st, 21 days of official launch, I was on a live talking to my Instagram people saying, this is why it's so good. Trying to explain the technology in the easiest way possible. And when I hung up, my business partner called me and they were shouting and Caroline was shouting. I'm like, what's happening? And they were like, sold out, sold out. I go, haha, very funny. You know, I thought they meant my live sold out, everything we had for the entire year, our fiscal 12-month year. She's like, no, we really sold out. Net-a-Porter just said, it's ridiculous that we keep selling out because now they're leading sales back to us. Because when you're just making your, you know, orders, and she says, what was happening was when their wait list would get that email, You Beauty's back in stock. By the time that person would link and go and buy it, it was sold out again. So their customers were upset. They were saying, you don't know how to stock. You have a wait list. How could you tell me it's my turn? And they would get really upset. So then they would just come to my site and buy it from me. So Net-a-Porter said, whatever you have globally, give it to us. Whatever you have at the lab, whatever you've got, all of it. And we said, all of it? And they said, all of it. And we thought, the entire year stock? And so we sent it off. So we were officially sold out by November 21st, 21 days of official launch. We didn't have product to sell to our own people, our own consumers, our own community from November 21st till December. I didn't have this. My son had one. I had I was using lab samples because I would just, you know, we would sell it. My partner would say, do you have another bottle? I'm like, yes. And then she's like, sell. I'm like, great. So I would ship it off to that customer. I would, you know, try to fold it nicely. That's not, again, not something I'm, you know, Caroline's our beautiful handwriting person. Katie's the business. I'm just like throwing things in a bottle, trying to make it look nice and ship it off. And so that was the crazy launch story. And then by then we had 100,000 people who signed up for our newsletters and that gave us our cell phone numbers. And that was part of my plan too, was just not only do we let them try everything for free, but now we've got their info. I'm like, let me text you. And so that was how we built our business. It was no marketing budget. We spent a few thousand dollars on the launch event in New York City. Because all my friends came, all my influencer friends came to support. I have such an amazing influencer community of friends that I've known, some for 15 years when we started together, like Brian Boy, some just the last 7 years, some the last decade. But because of the support of my influencer community, I think that's been the only difference of me launching a brand than any other founder. It was the same problems of trying to figure out how to pay for this and that. How do we do the packaging? How do we get it to people? How do we apply for FDA, the licenses, how do we ship from Europe? Because everything was shipped from Europe because we wanted to do everything at the same place. So our lab not only formulated it, helped us formulate the final product, packaged it, everything, sent it off. So really, you know, there was not a lot of middle stops. So it was as sustainable as we could get it.
Congratulations on really, you did all of the things to make it successful. And you knew, you read the consumer mind, you had the feedback, and you followed all the protocols, which is so amazing. I'm really curious to know, now that you've had this incredible success, and we all need to try this product. Now I'm dying to try the product.
I'll send it to
you
guys.
Your skin is glowing. But I'm really curious to know, you know, since your launch, Tina, and everything that you accomplished, and you have this wonderful community and people that you've worked with and the influencers, and I'm sure a lot of people ask you questions about launching a brand and not having all of that opportunity. What would you suggest to people starting out, founders who have been in business for a long time, that are trying to build community and really trying to do something authentic? You know, you had this incredible sense of you are an influencer and you used it to build something beautiful and successful, and it's amazing, and congratulations. But how can you help other people learn from your expertise and what you've done?
As I said, my access was what differentiated this launch. My identifying the problem to even have a skincare brand was magnified because I was an influencer. But I faced a lot of challenges. It was, how do I get people to trust me? Because it's not like a $10 product. This is $148 for 30 ml of the compound. It's $88 for the 15. And at the time, we just had those two products. So what I did was I treated all people like influencers. I just we cold called a lot of blogs who didn't know who I was. There was lots of people, because it's not like, you know, I'm out there and I'm this huge movie star. I have a very small niche community, so I needed to reach others. So we would email blogs that we thought would post about this free sample. We emailed, asked people if they would post about it, and they did for free product. So we reached out to everyone, you know, especially the micro influencers. I'm really into them. It's that person I want them under 30,000 followers because they're so engaged with everyone in their community. Treating consumers as influencers, I think that in luxury brands have been doing that recently. Instead of having influencers front row, they've got their VIP clients, which as it should be, because they're the ones spending money. And that's I always tell when, if you're starting a brand, rather than chasing influencers, take that money, invest it in your community. Invest it. Now we can't do community events, obviously, but invest it where, even if you have just 500 followers on Instagram, offer them something, offer them an incentive to continue to follow you and to listen to you. And so that's where we put our money. We put our money in the sampling packets, and that really paid off for us. And that's even without, I did some swipe ups on Bag Snob about it, but really the sample packets, it was just like word of mouth. One woman would get it. And the best part was when people would come onto my Instagram and say, I had no idea it was you, or it was one of my husband's business peers. His wife was like, I just read that You Beauty's your wife. I use that. I signed up from another site because they said free samples and, you know, I wanted to try it. And so that to me was really rewarding. And I'm big on crowdsourcing. So my 100 friends were the initial crowdsourcing. And then I started asking the community, you know, what do you love about it? What do you do with the packaging? And what do you want to see next? And everybody wanted a cream. And thankfully, I had been working on the cream all along, but didn't feel it was ready because the cream took over 2 years and 15 formulations. And so let's see, we're on it's 2.5 years we've been working on You Beauty. So the Siren technology being refined for 9 years now. And we came out with a double Siren for the smart hydrator. There's a Hydra Siren in addition to the original Siren, because this time we've added a dehydrated and encapsulated long chain hyaluronic acid that expands 1,000 times its weight in water beneath the skin's top layer because of the encapsulation. So I think just for most brands, you really have to value your community, however small it is. You know, even if it's, and your first community, by the way, just like mine was, are your friends. So your friends and family, they're your first customers. Value them, see what they have to say, ask them questions, ask them for feedback, and in return for a bottle of whatever you're working on. So instead of chasing that million follower influencer, offering them money and they don't even know what your product is, or even, you know, whoever you think is going to help you sell, but your first customers is your inner circle. So you utilize them, that like I did. My inner circle happened to be, you know, influencers and designers, but a lot of them were just friends of mine. A friend of mine who, you know, whose mother's 73. I'm like, can you please let her try it and ask her to tell me what she thinks? And my son, who I have only one son. I would never allow him to use anything that I didn't know was absolutely clean and non-toxic. And he didn't want to use it. He's like, you're a boomer. You're not a doctor. You don't know. He's so rude. I was like, what? And no, he's not. I'm kidding. I love saying that, but he's actually very sweet, but he does say some weird things to me. And he forgot his dop kit on a vacation.
He's a boy. Like,
they don't mean it. They're like, I was just kidding. Yeah, sure. We were in Taiwan on vacation a couple summers ago, and I was just done with my formulation, and he had forgotten his very harsh tretinoin that his dermatologist had prescribed for him, which was making his skin even drier. And I said to him, try the compound. He's like, you're not a doctor, mom, but fine. Tried it. And I never saw that bottle for the rest of the summer vacation. So that's when I was like, okay, if my teenager, now he has all three bottles, you know, he can't be without his compound. And then when he's done with the compound, he spritzes this you know, hydrating mist. So got him on skincare.
Up next, we are going to hit the pan with Tina Craig and get to know the more personal side of her.
You're rolling, Mark.
Oh, yes, I am. hey, everybody. I'm Mark Rako.
And I'm Puffin Ball.
And we are two of the hosts of Fashion Is Your Business, which is a weekly show. And in part, it's about fashion tech, but it's also about the intersection of business and technology, innovation, e-commerce, business strategy, you name it, we probably talk about it. We've had many people on the show over the last 6 years. We've not missed a week. Every week we've had at least one show. That's more than 350 episodes. with some of the foremost fashion technology.
Wait, have we, I don't actually know this stat. Have we ever missed a week?
I don't think we've ever missed a week in one way or another, presenting some value. But enough about us. Let's talk about you.
Wow. No, look, if I'm going to throw my promo out there, I'll say that as a retail strategist, we go very deep into really curating the conversation. So whether they be investors or futurists, strategists, a lot of technology founders, I mean, brand leaders, the conversations and the wealth and the spectrum of people that have been on the show are incredible. And to think back on the last 6 years, which I actually did not know it was 6 years. I was going to say five, but still unbelievable the breadth of information that's in here. And yeah, I've learned a ton, so I'm assuming other folks would learn a ton as well.
Look, to us, it's been like a masterclass covering everything from textiles to retail and everything in between. It covers business news from startups to conglomerates. And the show is a fun and accessible morning radio vibe. We have fun and you will too. But the main thing is, whether or not you are in the fashion industry or fashion technology, there's something here for everybody. You'll hear us every Tuesday without fail on Fashion Is Your Business. And guess what? You can find it pretty much anywhere you find your best podcasts. Everywhere from Spotify to Apple to Stitcher to Google.
All of the things.
All of the things. All fashion the things. Is your business.
It's Hitting the Pan.
So we're back, and Hitting the Pan is part of the episode where, like our favorite beauty products, where we get to the bottom of it, we're going to get to the bottom of what motivates and inspires Tina. To figure out who is going to ask the first question, we're going to take a spin at the cilantro, and it lands on April.
All right. Wow, this is a tough one. I feel like there's so many things that I want to know. But I have to ask, it's very rare to have a beauty brand, and especially a skincare line, with two products. Can you give us an idea of what's to come? That's my first question. And if I have time for another, I'll sneak one in.
Well, as I say, I treat my face like a diamond, and so should you. So the four C's: cleanse, compound, cream, and cover, which is your SPF. So those are all in the works. That's all I have to say. But I do have one really exciting product coming out in February that's not for the face.
Ooh, amazing. Thank you for the sneak peek.
But it's going to do for the body what the compound has done for the face, which is the tighten and the resurfacing and the smoothing. So
awesome.
Bring it on.
Thanks for the sneak peek.
Yes.
All right.
And so we're taking another spin of this lawn chair, and it lands on Abby.
Oh my God. So this has been fantastic. Very inspirational. Really love your story. Can't wait to try the products. And you're glowing. And I love that your son's in the closet doing TikToks, because I have three sons of my own and they're doing not TikToks, but
310,000 followers on TikTok.
Fantastic. All right, you're going to have to tell us who he is so we can follow.
Yeah, I will.
So my question's going to go in a little bit of a different direction. Let's talk about you and what turns you on, Tina. I know the love of beauty and the influencer and, you know, all of that world, and we all live in it and love it. But what feeds your soul? You talked about your beauty routine, your grandma, your mom, your love of that. But I don't know, is it music? Is it travel? What really lights you up outside of the beauty fashion world that you love so much?
Gosh, you know, it is travel, because I grew up a nomad. I was 8 years old when I immigrated to the U.S. from Taiwan. And then I lived in D.C. and then we lived in California. So I had gone to 12 different schools. So I love change. And so travel really is that's my thing. I love to travel. I was on a plane every other week. That's how I get on a plane, and that's when I just focus, regroup. And I'm motivated by having fun. And I think that's why I love TikTok. I'll do anything that's fun. So that's my motivation. I always ask myself, am I having fun? When I'm not, and I have walked away. I was an entrepreneur when I graduated USC with an international finance degree. And my older brother and I started a licensing company. And I bought Ronco Popeil pasta maker. I don't know if you're old enough to remember Ronco, Mr. Microphone, all those infomercials. He's a godfather infomercial. bought the license of him for 6 territories in Asia. When I stopped having fun when I was 25, I literally told my brother, this isn't fun, and I quit. I became an MTV VJ. I went and auditioned and became an MTV VJ because I wasn't having fun. Because I was like, I'm 25. I'm stuck in an office. I'm the vice president of this growing company. And I was freaking out. I didn't want it. I told my parents, I'm like, I'm not having fun. I remember crying. I'm not having fun anymore. And they're like, life is not a hee hee and a ha. I'm like, yes, it is. I said, if it's not fun, I don't want to do it. But I've had fun with my life. So
keep having fun.
I'm motivated by having fun. Yeah.
Well, let's work for you. So we'll take the last thing of this lawn chair, and obviously it lands on me. Actually, it landed on Abby, and then I kind of like pushed it over a little bit.
You stole it. I get it. Yeah.
So 2020 has been like kind of a crazy year for everyone. Let's fast forward. It's October 2021. What are the 3 most amazing things that happened for you?
Number one, my son got his driver's license, and he can drive me around. Because right now he's turning 16, but he refuses. He's like, I have you and I have Uber. Why? So I'm like, oh my God, don't you want to drive? So by October next year, that's my goal, because he'll turn 17 in October next year. He has a license. He's driving me so I can do my work in the car instead of him doing his TikToks in the car. Number two, bringing you beauty to Asia, being there myself with my family and friends. And let's see, 3 things I want to see happen for me, and continuing getting, and then so October 1st will be my 2nd anniversary of my hysterectomy, another clean bill of health.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Tina, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners? And what's the best way people can find you or get in touch?
Yeah, Instagram, You Beauty, is the best place to DM, because I have a team now. Yay, they check on. It's so crazy that we have a team. We have a head of sales, a head of PR, we have a head of social. So if they DM us there, send us questions, or even leaving a comment on Bag Snob, that's fine too. Nice. But I would love for them to follow us on at You Beauty. That's my baby. And I personally go on there.
So, Tina, thank you so much for sharing your story and your words of wisdom. I mean, like, really, this is such an incredible story. And thanks to my amazing co-host, April Franzino.
Thanks so much, Karen.
And Abby Wallach.
Thanks, Kara. It's great.
And thank you for everyone who's joined us for this episode, special episode of Beauty is Your Business. We look forward to seeing you on the next show. Hugs and kisses.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Copyright 2020. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network, and find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com and wherever the best podcasts are found. Your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.